Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Legal Avenue podcast. My name is Lola OJ and I'm here with the only person that's always in the studio with me.
Hi guys, my name is Mandy, forgot to say that. But hi guys, we've missed you and we have a lot of episodes we've already recorded before now. I hope you've listened to it. If you've not, jump on all your streaming platforms, like every single one of it. Search for Legal Avenue podcast with Lola OJ and Mandy and listen to them because they are for you. And today we have one amazing person.
No, before you do the intro, okay, let me tell them about what today's episode is going to be about. So we're going to be doing a career spotlight and I am super, super excited about having the guest in the studio today because she is a lawyer that I have been following before I even went to law school. So she was a huge inspiration to, you know, me getting into entertainment law and just wanting to be very good at what I do. So we're just little, me and Mandy are sitting here like fans, just like, oh my gosh, we finally have her in the studio and we're going to get our notepad and pen out because we're going to take lots of notes and we hope you do the same. So Mandy, give us a lovely intro so we can welcome our guest.
She's not just a lawyer. She's one of the movers and shakers of the entertainment industry. Like literally, if you want to be an entertainment lawyer and you don't know who she is, you need to take a break. Like go back, pause, reevaluate yourself and come back. She's someone that is very inspiring. I wish to be like her. Like if I can come close to what she has achieved, oh my God, I can sleep better. And this is not the person, but the amazing
Yemisi Falaye is in the building. So now you guys know why we are so excited. Now we just want to go straight in because we know we have so many questions for her. So Mandy, hit us with the first question.
Okay. So everybody like has a backstory, how they got into entertainment law, how they got into the entertainment industry, even becoming lawyers, like something led to that, and we just want to know what brought your interest in entertainment law in the first place, a little bit about your journey, how you started, because you said entertainment law at the time when a lot of people are not doing it. Like now people can say, oh, I wake up one day and say I want to become an entertainment lawyer, but when you did that, I don't think there was anything like entertainment law self, like
it wasn't.
So we want to know how that came about, what made you think about it, your journey so far to this point.
All right, before I answer the question, let me be courteous by saying hello Lola, hello Mandy, hello everyone listening. Thank you Lola and Mandy. I feel highly honored. When Mandy was talking about me, well, in fact both of you, I found it difficult to believe that you guys were talking about me. I think I'm a celebrity.
You are. Well, you're still thinking.
I think I'm not, 100% sure. So thank you for the kind words. I appreciate. Now your question: how did I start my journey in the entertainment law life? Okay, so I work in a law firm called Denton Zekas Law. First top three law firms in Nigeria. If I may brag, if you allow me.
You're allowed to brag. This is a bragging space.
I started my legal practice, obviously, in the firm. And when I started, I was in the core corporate commercial department of the firm. And entertainment law, intellectual property, were not standalone departments then, So in 2016 or so, when the entertainment industry started gaining, getting a lot of buzz, gaining tractions and all of that, particularly when the PwC report on entertainment industry came out and everybody realized that entertainment is actually the new oil and gas in Nigeria. Every typical businessman started, thinking it is time to cut his own pie from the entertainment industry. So my boss, Mr. Folabi Kaksimatis, called me one day and asked if I knew any celebrity. Toke Makinwa, I call her Pioneer. She was a friend. She's a friend. I said to him, I know Toke. And he said I should call Toke and offer her 1 year free legal service. And immediately I called her. She agreed. And we signed Toke. At the point where we signed Toke was also the point where Mr. Martins, my boss, decided to make entertainment law a standalone department in the firm. And obviously, because I brought the first client, he made me the head of the department. And as they say, the story, the rest is history. From Toke, we had Wandy Cole. From Wandy Cole, we had 1,001 other other clients, and it's been a good journey so far.
Amazing. As I said, I'm just sitting here just learning so much as well. So we're going to have a second question, and that's, considering the entertainment law is yet to be part of the curriculum for undergraduates law students, there is no academic avenue specializing in our Nigerian universities. What advice do you have then for law undergraduates? Because I personally get a lot of people DMing, how do I learn entertainment law? How do I go about being an entertainment lawyer? So since it's not provided for in the curriculum currently, what advice would you give to undergraduates in wanting to, you know, start their own journey in the entertainment space?
First, I would say that, number one, you need to understand that whatever you learn in school, absolutely, the school academic world is way different from practice world.
Yeah.
So don't, even if you have a first class or a third class from law school or from the uni, it wouldn't really determine whether you'll be a successful lawyer or not, you know, if you have that in mind. And secondly, I would advise that, you know, as much as entertainment law is not a standalone course in our universities, there are courses that, you know, kind of related to entertainment law. The most common one is intellectual property. So you must ensure that you take that as an elective. Is that how they say it? I've been out of school.
Yeah. It's an elective.
I think we've been out of school a bit as well, actually.
Whatever, I don't even know. You know, just obviously, entertainment law must, intellectual property must be an elective or compulsory course for you. Company law as well, because, you know, you have to know the dynamics of operating a company successfully in Nigeria. So you do courses that are related to entertainment law, you know. And secondly, you know, in schools now, I'm sure that that's still the case, because I go to universities and I get invited by clubs, associations and all of that in faculty of law in different schools. So form a group of people that have common interests, you know. And then you guys should invite people, experts, you know, come in, speak with you guys, like some career networking kind of thing, you know. So you get used to it, you have an idea, even if you don't get used to it, you have an idea of what is going on in the corporate world before you even get into the corporate world. And then during internship, very key, you know, once you're on holiday, don't think holiday is a time for you to relax. Yes, it's a time for you to relax. It's also a time for you to empower yourself, get yourself ready for what you're coming out to do after school. So intern in law firms that offer or practice entertainment law, just so that you get used to what is obtainable in the entertainment world. Yeah. So finally, get a mentor. Mentors are very important in anybody's life, you know. They've gone through the path you want to channel. So you just do what they've done, study what they've done, and you don't necessarily have to have a direct relationship with your mentor, you know. So don't get deterred. If you send me a DM, for instance, and I'm not responding, just study what I'm doing, study what I've done, and try as much as possible to even do better. And boom, you'll be the best.
And just so you know, guys, I was definitely one of those in your DMs. I don't have shame. I will continue to be in your DMs, because when you want something bad enough and you know that there are people out there that can help you with your journey, you just keep on going. There is no shame in, oh, she didn't respond. Try again.
Yeah,
go to wherever she's talking. Grab her at the end. You know, get the information you need, because the truth is people are just busy, and it doesn't mean they don't want to help you. Sometimes they just don't have the time. So catch them while and when you can is what I would say. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm in your DMs, and I still will be after this as well.
Okay. All right.
Stalker in a healthy way. So I tell a lot of people that dealing with entertainers and creatives can be can get a little crazy, because you're dealing with human beings. You're not just dealing with corporate faces and all of that. So they can get a bit demanding.
Mm.
So how do you balance that? Being there, providing your services for your clients, and being there for them physically. Like, for example, now RPC gives a lot of weird rules. Oh, your client has come to the office, visit you, you cannot go and meet your client and all of that. But then you notice that entertainment industry needs to be there for these guys physically. So how do you balance that?
Davido, for instance, calls me Superwoman. And a lot of people ask me this question and I'm not able to explain it. I just see myself doing it. While we were trying to set up, Lola had a feel of my life and, you know, meet her on the phone, pressing my computer. These guys go to club, there's an issue, they call me at 2 a.m., 4 a.m. I remember one time, one of them forced me to go to club with her. And when I say, you don't worry, it's not anyone that you know like that. So
can you provide us with some names?
When I say her, so don't bother about trying to think of who, you know, I'm talking about. So, I mean, we're in the club together, I got tired, you know, so I left. So, you know, I said, I'll see you some other time. And as I got home, changed to my pajamas, she called me and said somebody in the club smashed a glass of champagne on her face. I'm like, wow. And this was about 4 a.m. And of course, you know, I wore my clothes back, went back to the club, went to the police station, obviously, to do the needful. And I didn't get back home until like 7 a.m. And I still had work to do because I think it was on a Sunday or so, you know. So, and I still did my work. So I don't know how to explain that. And I'm not young. I'm going to be 42 in September.
Sorry, excuse me. You're still young. So please, like, and you're looking very young today.
You know, so, I mean, one would expect that my age, per se, would not allow me do certain things. But somehow I find myself doing it, you know. So I think I'm naturally born for this. And I'm also very passionate about what I do. Whatever I decide to do has to succeed, you know. So that's always what drives me. You know, if you come to me and tell me you want me to be your lawyer, you want me to manage your career, I have no choice but to ensure that you're a huge success, and I'll do everything legally.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
To ensure that you're a success. So I mean, it's just the passion.
So don't you get bothered? This is like just a follow up question. Don't you get bothered that your role as a lawyer could sometimes, like, because then a lot of entertainers don't get, like, lawyers are lawyers and they're not management or financial advisors and all of that. So don't you get bothered that being there always would kind of blur the lines between providing legal services and management and all of that, or you go all out?
I mean, I go all out. And I mean, with all sense of humility, I prove myself worthy of anything any task that you give me to do. If you give me an agreement to review as we speak, as long as it's not on the phone, because I can't really see stuff on my phone. If you give me a computer, I would do whatever I have to do, you know. And if you say to me, yo, there's an event somewhere, I need you to come with me, I need you to ensure that things go, as soon as I'm done with the agreement, dust my feet, we're ready to go for, I mean, and I deliver. So because I'm delivering, you obviously come back for more.
So what it sounds like to me is that it's not just all the glitz and glamour. I mean, people feel like entertainment law is, oh, you get to rub shoulders with the celebrities, you get to go out, you have fun. But tell us the real, you know, the real life, you know, what's the life of an entertainment lawyer? Talk us a bit about the things that people do not see.
Okay, for me, as an entertainment lawyer, I don't know of anyone else, but for me as an entertainment lawyer, there's no life.
Great.
There's no life, particularly because I'm not dealing with just one person. I have four clients that I do beyond legal work for. Four clients who, if they want to break up with a partner, I would have to be part of that process. If they want to start dating someone, I'm going to have to be part of that process. I have four people like that. And that's without the people that I do mainly legal for. You know, so you don't have a life, so to speak. It is fun. That's my passion. I love doing it. I mean, nobody can force me to do what I don't want to do. You know, it's fun. I'm passionate about it and I'm doing it very well. So, but then it is not as straightforward as people think it is. You cannot be sleeping at 4 a.m. and someone calls you to come and rescue her from someone who has broken a bottle or, you know, a glass in her face. You cannot not be passionate about someone who will call you and say, look, I don't want to date this girl anymore. Can you help me toss her out? I mean, see, you guys are laughing.
Please, I need a moment. Like, So people are only their lawyers for relationships.
Yes,
basically.
That's the life that I've chosen. That's what I do literally. You know.
I had a client tell me that it was weird.
You ever see guys all the time, clearly.
All the time. All the time, you know. So, I mean, if you don't have passion for it, you just get ticked off. Like, what's my business with, you know, whoever it is you want to date? Mm-hmm. You know, so the most important thing is passion. You have to have passion for it, and you can't afford to get tired, because the truth is, you know, this guy's career, there's worth almost, you know, $1 billion sometimes, and they depend on you for everything. You can't afford to screw things up, because if you screw things up, they are screwed up. And you screw up yourself. Because one screwed client means no more clients.
Yeah. So that means, like, even if we're partnering, we're working.
Absolutely.
See us at premieres. We're not just there to take pictures. We're working. So many people know you as Latin's lawyer, like, amongst many others. How is it working so closely with an artist? Obviously, you've told us how demanding it is. We want to hear the fun part a little bit. Don't make us scared.
Wait, hold on. You guys can't see this, but she's just flashed a Rolex at our faces. Guys, she has just flashed a Rolex our faces.
That's all.
So, that was the answer. No words, no song.
No words.
Rolex.
Just a wrist.
Just, you know, sometimes one action is enough. Speak loud. Louder than words. That was a good one. I like that. That was really good. So would you say that the industry and the profession of being a lawyer, an entertainment lawyer, you're talking about late nights, you're talking about constant phone calls. So do you think it could be more demanding for female lawyers than it is for the male counterparts, especially with the blurred lines and the expectations? Like, do you think it's tougher for a female entertainment lawyer than a male entertainment lawyer?
Absolutely.
Why? Give us some reasons.
From my experience, I mean, with Zlatan, for instance, when Zlatan says to them, this is my lawyer, this is my manager, this is the person you have to talk to, and then they see one tiny short girl until I open my mouth.
Then they know you mean business.
You know,
they hear the power.
I've had to, you know, fight. I've had to be very aggressive. I've had to be very pushy. I've had to work twice as hard as, you know, harder than any other, a guy in the industry, just because I'm a woman, you know, just so that that narrative of a woman not being as active or as useful as a man will mean, just to change that narrative, I had to work, and I'm still working even harder. Forget what I've achieved so far. I am still working twice, if not triple, as hard as, you know, I'm supposed to, just so that I make a statement. So it's actually harder. It's tougher for women. There's sexual harassment on one part, being the weaker sex on another part. So it's just, there's so many things you're trying to correct, and in the process you need to work harder.
So in regards to that, the answer you've given, do you think you've had to sacrifice a part of your own life, should I say, to ensure other people's lives are the way, you know, the way that you want it to be?
Yeah.
So have you had to sacrifice relationships and, you know, certain things you want to do? And do you think that sacrifice is worth it?
The main thing that I think that I've sacrificed is my lifestyle, because I'm a party rocker as well. Well, I used to be a party. To be honest. I'm a party rocker. I like to dress up. I like to wear my makeup. I like to wear my wigs. And, you know, I like to wear heels, but I can't wear heels. I can't really. That strength for heels isn't really there as much now. And that's because I've worked so hard. Most times I'm tired. Partying also has become a chore now, because I just want to rest. I mean, I'd rather be in bed than be in club, and I'd rather be in bed resting than go for a wedding, or, you know. So I've had to sacrifice that, even though once in a while I still do, you know, those things, but not as much as I would have loved to. So, I mean, I've sacrificed that. And relationship, I'm now diehard. I've been there, done that. I won't say that. I think I actually sacrificed that on my own. Nobody has.
No one has to. No, you don't have to make you sacrifice. Take.
These guys. It's men.
This gender.
You're willing to give that, let me take my time.
So, and it's been worth it, to be honest, because the truth is, creatives, entertainers, artists, they have massive trust issues. You know, perhaps sometimes because of their background, perhaps because they think people are there to milk them because of what they have achieved, perhaps also because of their personalities. They are usually very close-knitted people. Yeah. They don't, you know, so they have trust issues. So anytime they find someone they can trust, they hold on to that person like, you are going nowhere. So I put myself in a position where you can trust me. Whoever it is that I'm dealing with, my clients, my family, my friends, my currency is trust. Yeah, whatever it is I am doing with you, you have to trust me. So, and these guys trust me. And because they trust me, they want to put everything on my head. And that's very tasking.
So it comes with the territory, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so through the sacrifices, the wins, the hard work and all of that, what's your main goal? What do you want to be known for at the end of the day? What's the legacy you want to leave behind?
I think my goal is being achieved, even though I'm still working towards sustaining it. I want to be known as the number one. Okay, I think I'm going to raise the bar a bit now. I want to be known as the number one, the go-to person for entertainment law in Africa. I wanted to say Nigeria.
Oh, no, you're way beyond that.
That's
yeah. You know, Nigeria achieved. Africa almost achieved. Yeah, you know?
Yes. Let's, you know, raise the bar. I mean, I want to,
let's raise it to the world.
So then, okay. You know, I want to be an artist's go-to person. Like, anything. You have an issue with your record label, you think of it. I mean, somebody was telling me one day, a police officer stopped her, who is not even my client, my client's friend. And she said to me, the only person that came to her mind was me. Middle of the night. Now, she's not even my friend, my client's friend. That's where I want to go to. But it must come with
money. You know, that's one of our teams here. Get a lawyer, paid lawyer well.
Mm-hmm. Listen, this has been, it's been great because, yeah, I just love hearing about your journey, your achievements and all the things you want to do. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that you're interested in helping other lawyers that are also coming up into this space. I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. The entertainment law space is still a developing new space. Mm-hmm. So anyone that's willing to lend a hand in information, you know, sharing, you know, just sharing mm-hmm. their experiences, mm-hmm. I think it's very helpful. It has been absolutely amazing having you in today, but we're not going to let you go just like that. You're going to leave us with the legal takeaway for the day. So yeah, take it away and tell us, what should we know?
Okay, you should know that a photographer takes a photo of you, you don't have any rights to that photo, except you sign a release agreement with the photographer saying that I've commissioned you to take this photo of me, and you are completely and in perpetuity assigning your right to that photo to me. Otherwise, you say goodbye to that photo.
And that's why my photographers think I'm crazy, because that is exactly what they say. Unless I don't care about the pictures enough, you know what I mean?
Oh, guys, we're coming to the end of this episode. But, you know, before we leave, just have to drop a little disclaimer. Nothing discussed here constitutes legal advice. It's strictly for educational purposes and entertainment. Our views are our own. And please always consult a legal practitioner. Like right now, we have Train Studio, so you can't say you don't know anybody.
And not for free.
Pay your lawyers, because we deserve it. Yes. She has said it like sleepless nights. Mm-hmm. See what she has to go through. That's what Lola and I also go through. Mm-hmm. Maybe not on her level, but also go through it. So we've come to the end of this episode, and although we are sad to leave, we love you and we can't wait to see you next week.
And please, guys, let's keep the momentum going. Law is so important. It's something that governs us all. So make sure you follow us on all our social media platforms, the Legal Avenue Podcast. And also, where can we find you online as well?
I'm everywhere. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat.
This is the lawyer that we want to be.
Yeah, I'm everywhere, monitoring all my clients. Y-Falae, that's my handle everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Y-Falae. Y-F-A-L-A-Y-E.
Thank you so much. It's been amazing. Thanks for honoring our invitation. We want and
Thank
we
you
look
for
forward.
Me. I feel highly honored. Oh. Thank you so much.
We look forward to hearing more
I'll
big things from you.
I'll toss some clients to you guys. You guys must share part of
Yes! That's the energy.
Lola,
this is what Mandy has been waiting for.
I need Mandy's energy from you as well. Lola, yeah, say it.
Okay.
Say it.
Give me the clients. Uh-huh. We ready. So thank you so much, guys. Thanks for listening. Make sure you listen to our previous episodes. Follow all of us on social media and keep listening. Keep the conversation going. Entertainment law is so important and it's here to stay. So we're signing out. Bye.